There's armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that'll wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Bible study for tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this Bible study for tonight. Watch for Jesus. We are going to talk about some more of the heresies that's being taught in the churches today. And there's quite a few. Out of 37,000 sects, S-E-C-T-S, there are some different theology, each one, even Baptist. Supposed to be a Baptist, you're a Baptist. Well, they got different beliefs, even in a Baptist system. And we'll cover some of those. It's like they can pick and choose what they want to believe. How they do that? Does anybody check with God first? Like the Pope? When he changes things. Well, from now on, babies are in limbo. Well, okay. Well, Pope, did you check with God first? does he agree with you? Does he agree? Or did God tell him to do that? It gets ridiculous after a while. You wonder how they just come up with these things. And how people can believe it. Does anybody ever ask the question, well, Pope, did you check with God? What did God say? Do they have to change the Bible accordingly? How does this work? That they think they can do that on a grand scale. It's mind-boggling, actually. Tonight, we'll start off with denial of a literal burning hell. This is major. This is very serious. It determines whether someone's going to accept God or not, accept Jesus Christ. I mean, really, because they'll say, well, I just don't believe that a loving God would send someone to hell. How many times have you heard that? Well, he does. I just don't believe that. My God wouldn't do that. I guess we got 7 billion popes around, right, I guess? Whew, wow. Wouldn't it be nice if you could tell your parents what you could do, would do and wouldn't do as a teenager? Well, Mom, Dad, here's what it's going to be like. All right, I'm a teenager now. I got my license. Here's the rules. That wouldn't go over so well. At all. Of course, International Rights of Child, if that gets signed, it will. It would. It would change things quite a bit. That's another story. All right. What I want to do is get started here, and we'll go through this. Because all this is major doctrinal differences in a lot of the congregations, a lot of religion. And people trust their religious leaders. That's why I call them the Pied Pipers. They're not just not thinking about what God wants, what Jesus has said, what his written word has said. We minimize it. Well, Listen, a lot of people are going to be really surprised. It's called, I believe it's called gnashing of teeth. It doesn't have to be in the end times. It could be any time that you meet your fate, so to speak. Your time's begun. People forget about that sometimes. Lord, thank you tonight. Father, we come together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We dedicate this program, these Bible studies, Lord, in your name. Father, lead us tonight to be able to put on the air the heresies that's being taught today in your church. That, Lord, we can expose some of these heresies and get this knowledge out, get this information out that's where people are being taught wrong from the very people that are supposed to be teaching them correctly. Father, to follow your holy word in the King James Bible. And Lord, give us those opportunities to be able to witness to others and to build into them the conviction to want to know the truth. We're praying for our families, Lord, that we'll have them sanctified, that, Father, through our experiences and our models, that, Father, they'll bring others to Jesus and family members, and they'll spread. Give us courage in these end times. Guide us on the right path. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, I think tomorrow's going to be an exciting time. I want to talk about some of the history tomorrow in the broadcast. A little more detail about the conspiracy as such. I'll get into it tomorrow. Quite a bit of detail tomorrow of history. Because what happened in the past is going to happen in the future. The same family has controlled it all the way through, as led by Lucifer, Satan. Always has. Religion. We talked about denial of eternal security last night, denial of the deity of the Holy Spirit, denial of the deity of Jesus Christ, denial of the blood atonement, the deity of man. It's pretty much humanism. Humanism's taken to a new level with the New Age movement that man becomes a god. Confession. And some of the Church of Christ, they call them the Church of Christ, Campbellites, so-called the Church of Christ. Didn't appear until the early 1800s when Thomas Campbell, Campbell like soup, not Gamble like my name, Thomas Campbell like soup, his son Alexander Campbell, Campbell soup, left the Presbyterian Church to restore the true church. Well, Thomas Campbell organized the Christian Association, became an independent church around 1811, there it gives take. And Thomas was appointed elder. Alexander was licensed to preach. He had four deacons. The first Campbellite church wasn't named the Church of Christ. It was named the First Church of the Christian Association of Washington. And Alexander was a debater. I mean, it tells us not to debate, even in the Bible. He is corrected on more than one occasion by his father. And they debate quite a bit, the Campbellites. The Campbells weren't baptized by immersion until by 1812, and whole year starting a church. And they were unable to find a church preacher, since there's none before 1811, so they convinced Matthias Lucy, a Baptist preacher, to perform the service. So Lucy himself was later rejected by his Baptist brethren because of that. The Campbell clan, also called Reformers, was joined by Walter Scott, a traveling preacher. They believed in baptismal regeneration. And later joined by Barton Stone, an ex-Presbyterian. So then they all got together and had the true gospel, they said. The Baptists took the position that it was the reformers who needed to be reformed. So the Church of Christ is where it came from. What do they teach? Quite a bit. Amillennialism, baptismal regeneration, denial of eternal security, denial of a sin nature from birth, the Lord's Supper required every week, musical instruments forbidden in worship, salvation is through works, and true church history. But now when you get to Christian Science, that one, that's a humdinger. Christian Science is mentioned more than once about the New Age movement. It was founded in 1879 by Mary Baker Eddy. And this cult group is based upon her book, Science and Health, with the key to the scriptures. And also it borrows very heavily its reference through the writings of Dr. P.P. Quimby. And it doesn't really give him credit. Miss Marietta Baker, Mary Baker Eddy, I'm sorry, is the mother of Christian Science. But they think the father is Quimby himself. In 1862, early part of the Civil War, Eddy visited Dr. Quimby. He had a spinal inflammation, and same time she credited Quimby with healing her sickness. But then after he did that, she spoke out against him. Stole his ideas, his words and their own writings. Of course she didn't stop there. She was appealing to intellectuals, intelligentsia, and the mystical-minded type people of that day with their type of a mind-over-matter gospel. Reminds me of Oprah in a way. Miss Baker raked in a lot of money. And that came from her members. In that time of day, she was worth about $3 million. That's a lot of money back then. Nothing was left to charity. And during her life, this Miss Eddy ruled the Christian Science, the entire empire of it, without any internal opposition. She died around 1910. So that left a vacuum in the throne for Christian Science. So the parent church was formed by Miss Annie C. Bill of London. And Dr. John V. Dittemore left the board of directors to support Miss Bill as Eddie's successor. So the parent church just kind of faded away. Now, what is the heresies that they teach? Oh, there's a bunch. Denial of the blood atonement. Denial of the deity of Christ. They deny the deity of the Holy Ghost. They deny eternal security. They deny literal burning hell. They deny the physical resurrection of Christ. They deny the literal second coming of Christ. They deny the sin nature from birth. They deny the Trinity. Deny the virgin birth. They have a lot of authorities, not just one of the Bible. And they believe in salvation through works. I'm surprised they don't deny the denial. I mean, it's Christian Science is bad news. It's going to pick up steam. Now, we get into now denial of a literal burning hell. And you know, this links into, has a link to denial of, or the actual, they've taken up the soul sleep. Soul sleep, I'll explain it later in more detail, but it's where the body just, once you die, the body just goes away, turns to dust, bye-bye. It's over. Your soul is separated from your spirit. And the soul, they believe, goes to sleep. The spirit goes to be with God. And then at the rapture, or when it's time to marry them up together, the soul is brought out of slumber. Like it's like, oh, I'm awake. Oh. And then you're brought into judgment. So if you're going to hell, you don't really go to hell. It links up with annihilation. You see, so I can sin all I want. I don't care. Because all I'm going to do is die, and I don't feel anything. And when I wake up, I'm going to get judged, or whatever y'all believe. And then he just annihilates me. So what? You see how it works? Well, God don't work that way, because a literal burning hell, denial of that, annihilation, soul sleep, means that death is a reward. It can lead to suicide. Who cares? Just kill myself. So what? You see how it works? Also, you can sin, no problem. Or I can do good works. I'm going to wake up. Look here. Look at all the good works I did. Come on now. Has many implications here that are false. But it fills my itchy ears. So I'll help the widows. I'll do good deeds. Help little old ladies across the street. Kind of secure my place in heaven and do what I want. Well, I got news for him. It don't work that way. Soul sleep is reward. No literal burning hell is reward. God's not reward to sinners. I tend to think, I don't like to refer to movies too often, but Patrick Swayze was in a movie called Ghost. You know, a touchy-feely kind of movie. But the point of the movie was, when the people in that show or movie died, they were immediately taken to hell by the shadow people. I tend to think that's what it is. I don't go along with the movie, of course, but that he sticks around, hangs around, drinks coffee at Starbucks and haunts people. I think you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And when you're in hell, being tormented because of sin you did on earth and not born again, that at the great white throne judgment, he says, okay, now it's time for eternal judgment. He pulls you out of hell long enough to judge at the great white throne. If you're not in the book of life, then you go back to the eternal punishment that will be forever. Family, that's harsh. But here's the point. You see, I've talked about this before, but it kind of fits here again. Love hates evil. It says in the Bible, in Daniel 12:2, and this one I'm going to talk about tonight may take a while, because this in itself is a program. We'll see. And old Daniel, where are you, Daniel? 12:2. It says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame, everlasting contempt. Now, that part there gives some people the belief of soul sleep. But it's not so matter of being asleep and awakened. It's a matter of the judgment that you're going to get. So let's go into the study of Daniel 12:2. You got to go to 12:1-3 to understand 12:2. And at that time shall Michael, which is not Jesus, by the way, and you say, well, of course he's not. Well, no, there's other different sects that believes Michael and Jesus are one and the same. You see how crazy this gets? And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation ever to the same time, even to the same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of his firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. He talks about the end times here. And we go to verse 1. It's talking about the great tribulation, the time of trouble. And the 3.5 years preceding Christ's second advent, some will be raised to enter the millennium with Christ. The wicked dead will be raised at the end of the millennium. If you go to verse 2, Revelation 20, verse 5. And those tribulation saints who prove themselves wise by obeying the Lord and leading others to faith and to righteousness will be resplendent in eternal glory. You'll be eternal. Now, you have some theologians that look at verse 2. It's not talking about physical resurrection, but the national and moral revival of Israel. And you know, after God's ancient people, the old people, are regathered to the land in unbelief, you have a remnant, few. They'll respond to the gospel, enter the millennium as saints. Those that enter the millennium are the ones who awake to everlasting life. All the others who worship the Antichrist will be condemned to shame and everlasting contempt. And you know that buried among the Gentiles for centuries, God's own Israel will be restored nationally. And the believing remnant will experience the spiritual resurrection that's actually described in Isaiah 26:19. The dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they rise. Awaken, sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. And Ezekiel 37, which is too much to read tonight, but Ezekiel 37 talks about it. About the bones coming back to life again is Israel. How the bones shall live. This is, you know, the Bible is not a history book. The Bible is a book of future. People got it all wrong. So now you ask yourself, if this happens, when it happens, does hell actually serve a purpose? What's the purpose of hell in the first place? Hell was designed originally for Satan and his demons, Matthew 25:41, and Revelation 20 verse 10 confirms that. Hell will punish the sin of those who reject Jesus. Matthew 13:41-50. Revelation 20 verses 11-15. And Revelation 21 verse 8. And hell is also conscious torment. There is the key. Matthew 13:50. A furnace of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9:48. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And Revelation 14:10. He will be tormented with fire and brimstone. Hell is eternal and irreversible. Here you got several in Revelation 14:11, Revelation 20:14, and Revelation 20:15. And some of the erroneous views of hell. You got your second chance view. I've heard that already. Recently. Some reports and articles. That after death, there's still a way to escape hell. But it says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Then you got the old universalism, where all are eternally saved. Jesus paid the price for everybody. That's it. Well, what that does, it denies the truth of salvation, and that through Christ. And that means that a person decides to either trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, or else he or she rejects Christ and goes to hell. John 3:16, John 3:36 as well. And as I mentioned before, you've got annihilation, to be annihilated. Hell means a person dies like an animal, ceases to exist, what it means. Well, it denies the resurrection of the unsaved. John 5:28. It denies the conscious torment, also of above. That I've talked about before. And what people say, well, a loving God would not send people to hell. It's horrible. But you see, God's provided the way of salvation for all. Even those who haven't heard of Christ are accountable for God's revelation in nature. God will seek those who seek Him. God doesn't send people to hell. They choose it. And people like to find that out. They won't deny it. You see, it makes the sin easier. And of course, God's my personal friend. We know each other. Wink, wink, elbow, elbow. Hell's too severe a punishment for man's sin. He wouldn't be that severe. Well, God's holy perfect. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 to 15. Because you see, sin, according to God, is willful opposition to Himself, to Him, who's our Creator. Sin does not merit hell, they say. And what's unfair and amazing is that Christ died for our sin, for He offers salvation to all. I got a teaching on hell. Quite a few scriptures here. You got one called Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. And that Sheol is a Hebrew term. It describes the grave or death. Does not refer to hell especially or specifically. Then you got Hades. That's a Greek term that refers to hell. It's a place of torment. And Gehenna. This is also a Greek term, borrowed from a literal burning dump like Jerusalem. It always refers to hell, which is a place of torment. And of course, the lake of fire. The lake of fire, can you imagine? The lake of fire is the final abode of unbelievers after they're resurrected in the book of Revelation. Now, describing further where the dead go, there's Abraham's bosom, a place of eternal comfort that was vacated and moved up to heaven after Jesus Christ preached there during the time that He died and then came back to earth. They have paradise, a place of eternal comfort. And with the Lord is a key phrase where church-age believers are after death. And you have a new heavens, a new earth, where believers will be after they're resurrected. Now, I got scriptures for all that. I mean, just I got like dozens and dozens of scripture about how that works. But I want to move on here and talk about, does hell serve a purpose? What if you were to take hell out of the Bible, that God would not punish so severely, as I said before? When you take hell out of the Bible, say, well, I just don't believe in it. God wouldn't hurt us that bad. He's not that evil. Well, if you do that, you take hell out of the Bible, change God's, what He tells us about hell, Then you take out, you say that God then would be an unjust God. If there's no punishment of sin at all, or mediocre punishment, or you work your way out, then you would say that heaven is apathetic toward the rapists and pillagers and murderers. If there's no hell, God would be blind toward the victims. He turned his back on those who pray for relief. If there's no wrath toward evil, then God is not love. Love hates that which is evil. If you don't have punishment, what's the use of even hating it at all? If you hate it, you got a punishment for it. There's some admonishment. To say there's no hell is also to say that God's a liar, his scripture untrue. But the Bible repeatedly and stoutly affirms the dualistic outcome of history. Some will be saved, some will be lost when Jesus Christ comes. There is a literal burning hell. Now, you know, Jesus Christ himself used the term hellfire pretty much in Matthew. Notice the preachers don't talk about that much. Hardly any. They used to in the old days. They quit that a long time ago. 501c3 saw to that. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you, in red lettering, that's Jesus talking, but I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. That's what Jesus said. In Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So when somebody attacks the hell fire doctrine, they're attacking the very words of Jesus Christ himself. You know, Jehovah's Witness, for example, believes that hell is only the grave that everyone goes to a death. Some of them come to the house and I talk about that and they say, Oh, no. I say, what Bible you use? We go into it. Then they can't wait to leave the house. But he believes the saved ones in the graves will be given eternal life on earth after the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. Verse 11 to 15. But the unsaved in the graves will be annihilated once and for all in the lake of fire. They'll just burn up and that's it. These people refuse to believe that God would punish the wicked, however, in the lake of fire forever. They don't believe it. Of course, the scriptures say something different. There's no fire in a grave, but there's certainly fire in the hell of the Bible. For example, Luke 16:23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Adam afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. See, there's Abraham's bosom. They were not lifted yet to heaven because Jesus had not died and become born again. Had not risen from the dead. So he has not fulfilled his mission yet. So everybody that was a righteous person would go to Abraham's bosom. all kind of gather together in a supernatural way. It goes in kind of a little bit to my teaching about the translation, where I actually found that translated had a lot to do with the link of change of DNA and RNA. That's how Enoch was brought up. That's how Jonah survived in the well. God changed the body structure. That's how Peter walked on the water. You couldn't do it just in flesh. But his faith, he had to change. That's how healing takes place. Because the body structure is changing by the power of God. But he can only work when he's hooked up to the modem. The modem is faith and belief in Jesus Christ. That's your modem. Deuteronomy 32, verse 22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Whoa. And Matthew 18, verse 9. Actually, Matthew 5, 22. I said that one, didn't I? And then Matthew 18, verse 9. If thine eyes offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. If it is better for thee to enter the life with one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast in hell fire. And James 3, 6. In James 3, 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Gosh. So is the tongue among our members that be defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. It's clear. No kidding around there. So there is eternity is fire from the hell of the Bible. No one prays from the grave. They certainly do it in hell, though. Luke 16:24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Family, there's no soul sleep. Their soul's not sleeping. That's not good. That's eternal. They're down there today, right now. There's no getting out. This is serious. The more I study it, the more I realize it. You know? So that's why we're all distracted. To keep us all distracted. And let's see, we got John 2:2, I believe. Oh, no. It's Jonah 2:2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. He heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me all about. All my billows and waves passed over me. Jonah wasn't too happy. And you know that hell was originally made for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. But the grave was not. Hell was made for the angels. They don't sleep. They don't have bodies. They're supernatural already. And of course, you all know Matthew 25:41. And then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Family, they're not reading their Bible when they talk about annihilation and all that. They're being lied to by these preachers out here. That's my point. A Christian soul does not go to the grave of death. Philippians 1:21-23. 2 Corinthians 5:1-10. And 1 Thessalonians 5:10. But the body goes to the grave. An unsaved man's body also goes to the grave at death. But his soul goes to a place of torment and flames. Luke 16:22-33. That's important to know. See now why a lot of preachers don't talk about this? They'll lose the donations in the plate. I used to preach hellfire and brimstone back in the day. Not anymore. They quit doing that. Have too many people saved if they kept doing that. They don't preach about the millennium either. You notice that? What to expect in the future. Luke 16:22-23. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. You see, the Bible's full of it, to tell you the truth. But people aren't reading it. They're trusting the preachers. And not the teacher. You know who the teacher is? The Holy Spirit. They're not trusting the Holy Spirit. They're trusting their own itchy ears, and the preachers are scratching them. I just made that up. It's quite awakening here. There's so much I didn't realize. How all these heresies are overcome by truth of the Bible. The very Bible they're using has the answers. They're not going through it. The grave cannot possibly be hell. Because Jesus said it would be better to enter into life, eternal life, without a hand, foot, or eye, than to go to hell. Matthew 18:8-9. So you ask yourself, it begs the question, how can it be better if hell is only the grave where there's no suffering at all? Yeah. So according to Jesus Christ, hell is a lot worse than losing a hand or a foot or an eye forever. Now, annihilation cannot be true. Because the Bible uses terms as shame and everlasting contempt. So that can't be annihilation. I talked about in Daniel 12, 2. And torment forever. Revelation 14, verse 11. Shame and torment are sufferings that are experienced by a living being, not someone annihilated. See, God's eternal. He's an eternal being, always been here. How that works, I don't know. You kind of wonder from our materialistic minds how an entity like God could have always been here. You always want to think he had a beginning. When you really sit back and think about it, it's like you can't. Your mind stops. It goes to a point and it quits. You can't imagine it. Because our minds don't have that dimensional capacity. That's why. Eternal payment is required for sin. Mark 9, 44 to 48. And you'll find it Isaiah 66, 22 to 23. You can find those. Now we keep saying, that Jesus Christ is our judge. Well, your fair trial at the white throne judgment, you can have a free pardon right now by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now is a good time to mention it. In a fair trial before God, you will be eternally damned to hell because you're a sinner against the Holy God. God will have no choice but to sentence you to hell forever. That's why Jesus is your judge in the middle now. Because when he comes down here, he'll judge. It's too late. That's where the Masons think that they're going to mount up all these good deeds and they come before the throne. That's kind of a trial. But no, the trial's now. Your lawyer is Jesus Christ. This is very important. They got it mixed up. They think by becoming a Mason, by doing good deeds, helping little old ladies across the street, it'll all mount up. And by the time you get to Great White Throne Judgment, your sins will be overshadowed by your good deeds. So I can do a little sinning. No problem. Look at all the good deeds I've done. Look at the hospitals. You see how it works? As a matter of fact, check this out to prove my point. There's an interview, right quick, on the street. And listen to where he says about the hospitals. He throws it right in there like he's programmed. As a Shriner that's interviewed off the street in about 1 minute, 45 second interview. Watch this. Listen, and he comes back with, well, look at the hospitals we have helped. Check it out.
Lucifer, what is your problem?
Just that, sir.
Okay.
I'm a Christian, sir.
I'm pure and virtuous and wholesome and innocent. How can you say anything about me?
Sir, you need to be born again.
Am born again.
Is that, now, did you just say that you are Lucifer?
I am Lucifer.
Okay, define Lucifer for me.
Pure, virtuous, wholesome, innocent individual that's out to help people.
Lucifer is?
Yeah.
Say that again. Lucifer is a pure, holy...
Virtuous.
Virtuous. Now, is he the Lucifer that God created?
That's the same one.
Oh, man, this is great. I'm going to put this on the internet.
Oh,
amen.
God bless you,
amen.
Brother.
Because that's exactly what the Shriners and Masons teach, is that Lucifer is light.
No.
And you're,
what
you're
about
confirming
those hospitals?
You know what, sir? Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do these good deeds in your name? And he'll say, away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Jesus said it?
In Matthew chapter 5.
Mercy.
No.
That's hard to believe.
So you're a Christian and you don't know that. Actually,
no, I really am.
You are.
Because I'm pure and virtuous.
You're pure and virtuous. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're perfect without Jesus, right?
No.
Okay. Tell me about Jesus. Who is Jesus?
He's my leader.
Is he the Son of God?
Yes, he is.
Is he the only worshipful master?
Yes.
Have you ever been called worshipful master?
No, because I've just been too busy. I've been working.
Working.
Been working to help people.
What kind of work?
Okay. Get out of here.
See, this is what a Mason confesses, is that Lucifer is light. You heard it?
See? There's a Shriner, too. They're like brainwashed. Dangerous. And that was just right off the cuff. And they run the country now. For now, but it's going to stop. I heard one say that showed the Mason's ring, said, "That's my ticket to heaven." Well, anyway, I figured that's going to be just this part about denial of literal burning hell was going to take most of the night, or most of the Bible study. It's quite a bit to it. But you can see now where people are thinking, how they're set up by the good deeds they've done, by good works. And they got a rude awakening coming. Because the scriptures I've given you, and those that you're going to read yourselves, prove otherwise. If they use the same Bible, well, they should read the same scripture. But they don't. Tomorrow night, we'll move right along. We'll talk about denial of a literal second coming of Christ. Some believe he's already here. Some believe he doesn't even come back. But he rules from heaven. Oh, there's a combination of different types. So I think tonight, this study, and this week, I'm going to cover it all week long, the heresies. I'll be putting this out. It's important. Because people are being lied to, man, severely. And when they start believing it outside the Bible, that renders the Bible with a lack of credibility. That's what they want. It facilitates the falling away that's yet to come. And that the tribulation's already happened. Really? I had one last night tell me that. Tribulation's about done now. I said, no kidding. That conversation didn't go too well. Family, we're going to close. And then tomorrow night, denial of a literal second coming of Christ and denial of the physical resurrection of Christ. More heresies. And then we'll talk about some of the, later on this week, the different movements. And then you'll understand when I say the denial of whatever they don't believe. You'll be able to identify who they are. Like in forensic science. Anyway, let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for this Bible study. Thank you, Lord. We have our network, Father, through your work. We thank you, Lord, we're able to get on the radio. We're able to pass the word. And Lord, we thank you for the friends we have with families. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, give us conviction. We fall away. Point us in the right direction, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your holy word in the King James Bible. Lord, we pray for the future, for those to awaken in the churches, and for our Father, for our families to be sanctified through our study. And to bring them to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And this I pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, I hope y'all take some of these scriptures I give you and go back and go through them, because you're going to need them when you run across these heresies, these beliefs. They're going to come at you with them. And those that are meeting friends and family members that are lost to the falling away of the Christianity, which is going to happen, you'll have to deal with those that are been taught wrong and put them back on the right track. That's kind of what I see coming. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And also remind you that our Bible study and broadcast are played at highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He has a network going on up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors. He's hoping to increase his output. So if you live in those three states, check on his website, Watch It for Jesus. Highportradio.net. Find out who his sponsors are and use them. And also, my website is watchforjesus.com, and my Facebook is watchforjesus. Thank you all for coming by tonight. And every time I do these, I learn something new every single time. And I appreciate y'all dropping by. So, y'all have a good night. God bless. It's your watchman, signing off.
He's alive. He's alive.
Yeah.
Every day to the end of time.